Good morning. Happy November 11th. Welcome to the Caniac Commute. Happy Veterans Day to all our veterans out there. Let's kick it off with talking about last night. The Hurricanes avenged an earlier loss this season, knocked off the Calgary Flames pretty easily, 4-1. Probably Carolina's best overall effort of the season. When they met Arizona and shut them out for their first win of the year, probably facing a team that's struggling almost as much as the Hurricanes were. Here with Calgary, you had a team that's playing very well. Two of the more top flight offensive defensemen in the league right now on their back end in Brody and Giordano, and the Hurricanes pretty much shut down the Flames' offensive attack. I mean, other than a power play goal that Cam Ward really couldn't do anything about, very tight, compact effort, just a really good performance for a team that's kind of, like Bill Peters said, is trying to form an identity and might be doing that. Justin Falk, another great effort. He is playing probably the best hockey of his career. Gets 3 points last night, but just good everywhere. Really shutting down the opposition, making all the right plays, looking good with Andre Sequeira. The forward lines got mixed up last night, and somehow, some way, Bill Peters found some combinations that worked. Alexander Semin probably could have had 3 assists last night. Had quite a few plays where he looked like the Semin of a couple seasons ago. Jeff Skinner gets a goal and an assist. Just maybe his best effort of the season as well. Top to bottom, really a very, very good effort from the Hurricanes, and one that sees them kind of back in the picture as far as, instead of talking about Jack Eichel and Connor McDavid, now we're talking about, well, who's in third place in the Metropolitan Division, who's up next, who can the Hurricanes beat to climb further in the standings and get back into the conversation. Really impressive the way Peters and the team have turned this thing around. I had said, you know, back when, I think I mentioned this last time, you know, that you had to like the way Peters was doing things, that you felt like there was a structure and a plan, and right now that plan is working well. Last time I mentioned, you know, how are things going to go when things go badly? And while, you know, a come from behind overtime loss against Washington, I wouldn't characterize as a bad loss. It is a loss, and the team had to show that it could bounce back, and maybe not just be riding the momentum of a winning streak. And they did it last night. They did it by, you know, falling behind again, and then getting that spark they needed. Zach Boychuk finding a way to become a grinder that can put the puck in the net. And, you know, for years he was going to be a top-flight scorer, and if you can't become a top-flight scorer in the NHL, then you got to find another way to get yourself in the league. And Boychuk's done that by, really working hard, finishing his checks, and then, you know, when he gets the puck in a scoring opportunity, he has that pedigree to finish the playoff, and that's exactly what he's done. Just a very impressive, overall effort, and something the Hurricanes can continue to build on. I did get a few questions, and some of them are maybe a little on the negative side, or will require us talking about something that's maybe kind of negative, and some of them are on the positive side. So first, I had Tom ask, what do you do with the lines when Jordan Staal gets healthy? And wow, what an addition that'll be. I mean, that'll be like making a major trade deadline move before the trade deadline. The team misses him. There's no denial. You know, despite the winning streak, you could see it on the penalty kill. They're missing that big, long body at the top of the penalty kill. A guy that can move bodies out. A guy that's reach can really disrupt things. So they miss him, and there's definitely a spot for him. There's no denying that. You may have seen a wrinkle of that last night of what Bill Peters is going to do, and that's having Eric Staal on the wing. Staal moved to the wing last night, had Victor Rask centering him, and, you know, it might be that you know, they've had a hard time finding a good scoring winger to play with Jordan when he's healthy. Well, could Eric Staal be that winger? And, you know, then you find that third guy to plug in there. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's Talusti who can play on either side. I really don't know. But, you know, most coaches aren't looking for a trio of guys to fit together. When you get it, it's great. I mean, when you can have three guys that get rolling, it's great. But really, most coaches are looking for combos. Two guys that can push a line forward and then, you know, pull the third guy along, or have somebody there that maybe doesn't have a home and can benefit from playing with two guys who have great chemistry. So, you know, maybe Jordan and Eric play together when he comes back. And the team doesn't really have a top line right now. I don't think you can say that any line with Jay McClement in the center is a top line, though, for whatever reason, with Jeff Skinner and Alexander Semin on his wings, that they looked really, really good. And just, you know, McClement's not going to win any awards for you know, precision shooting or slick hands, but he's an honest player who moves forward and, you know, makes the right plays, and he knows who's going to score the goals when those three are out there. He's not out there looking to dangle and score himself. He's looking to get in the corner, get a cycle working, and get it on those guys' sticks. But right now, there's not a top line. You know, Riley Nash and Lindholm have been a good, you know, a good combo together. You know, is that the top line? I would say no. I mean, right now, it's just everyone's kind of rolling. The minutes kind of, you know, reflect that. There was no forwards who really played, you know, above all else minutes. Part of that was maybe that there weren't many penalties called. But, you know, so you don't see that disparity for guys who play on the power play. But really just a, you know, maybe that's your top line when the time comes, is if Eric Staal's going to get a little work on the wing. Man, when Jordan gets back, things look good. That's the only way you can put it. I don't know how else to say. You know, if that doesn't happen, I think, you know, there's going to be something's going to have to give if there's no injuries and Jordan comes back, because right now the team has plenty of centers, believe it or not. You know, Nash and Rask are both playing very well and deserve a spot in the lineup and deserve to be at center, because they're both winning faceoffs. They're both very good defensively. You know, they take care of that end of the ice first, and it's not to say Eric Staal doesn't, but if you've got two guys that maybe don't have the skill Eric Staal has that can handle the duty of taking on the other team's best players as a center, then moving him to the wing isn't the worst thing in the world, because, you know, he obviously has a very good shot coming down the wing and can cause problems. I've never been a huge proponent of Staal playing on the wing, but I can see why you would look at it right now, because the center depth has been really good. They're just really fortunate right now, and they've got other guys that can play center even. You know, Lindholm is, you know, they always talk about Lindholm being a center down the road, or, you know, they've mentioned Skinner. I think he's, you know, they fought that for a while and said, well, we expect him to be a center. I think, you know, I don't think there's any doubt he's a wing, but you've got a lot of guys that can play center. Patrick Dwyer played center on the fourth line for a while last night when things got mixed up a little bit. So tons of guys that can play center. So when Jordan comes back, he's obviously one of them. And maybe he's the top line center with his brother on the wing. It's going to be interesting. If this team keeps playing well and they get Jordan back, you know, somebody who's probably not deserving of losing a spot in the lineup is going to lose one. But if you can make yourself better, by all means, you do it. So that's interesting, definitely, for sure. Justin sent me a question and asked, what does Ryan Murphy have to do to be a mainstay in the Hurricanes defense? There's a spot there for him now. I mean, things aren't perfect back there, that's for sure. Justin Falk and Andre Sequeira are playing very well. I think Ron Hainsey has been good of late. Jay Harrison had a shaky start last night. He is what he is. He gives them a little bit of snarl on the back end, which is good. Gleason, you know, looks like he's okay from his little, you know, from his bumps and bruises. Got that goal last night on a, You know, I think people forget that when he was drafted, he was drafted with the idea that he was captain material, gritty, but also potential offensive upside. And he's shown flashes of that throughout his career. By, you know, there's no way you could say he's an offensive defenseman, but it's not like he's totally inept coming in with the puck on his stick. So, you know, good to see him get a goal, and he's playing pretty well. John Michael Lyles, he didn't make many mistakes last night, but when you're an offensive defenseman who can't really push bodies around too well, you know, like I said, there's spots, you know, there are flaws back there, and Ryan Murphy could come in. And what he needs to do is, you know, you see it a little bit with Ryan Ellis in Nashville, where you just need the confidence to play the game that you know, were known for. Murphy is just a great skater and puck handler. When he gets out there, he needs to just go, and, you know, let the offense, you know, be a little selfish and let the offensive part of his game come. And, you know, he's maybe been a little bit shell-shocked by being expected to be defensive-minded a little bit with the last regime, and you just want to see him go and, you know, engage in the play. I can tell you what, even if he's ends up being a below average defensive player, you can live with that if he's getting 45 points a season. Right now he's not that player, just because there seems to be a little something missing. I know when he was up, he was piling up shots, but, you know, not really a ton of high quality stuff. Not, you know, not looking great on the power play, I didn't think. So maybe at the time in Charlotte will, I didn't expect it to be this long of a stay in Charlotte. Maybe that time in Charlotte will give him a little confidence. He can come back, and if he comes back to a team that's playing well and needs help on the power play, well, that's exactly what he can bring. But it's pretty clear the team right now thinks he needs to get, you know, get back to playing the game that he was drafted to play. Michael Jordan got Mikhail Jordan, as they say, got the recall yesterday when there was some question about Gleason and Lyles playing with their injuries and Belmore being out. So they needed him as an insurance policy in case they only had five guys ready to go. But he got the call ahead of Murphy, and that, I think that speaks a lot to, you know, Jordan is a well-rounded player who can play in every situation and make smart plays, and you know, Murphy's not there yet. And he's young. You know, we say this all the time, he's young. So let's, you know, slow down the bus train. But, you know, just get his confidence back, play his game, and then just come up and do it. I mean, you can be on the third pairing and play on the power play and make a difference. And that's what Ryan Murphy needs to do. The last question I got was from Jamie, and this was prior to, I think it was right after I actually finished the last podcast, but it's still a relevant question. You know, Alexander Semin's name came up in some trade rumors, and then another person suggested, well, is the best thing that can happen to Carolina Semin going the Kovalchuk route and retiring from the NHL and saving the Hurricanes their cap hit and, you know, getting out of it without getting killed on the cap. The best thing that that can happen with the Semin situation is he plays great. I mean, first and foremost, that's the best thing that can happen. Last night you saw a bit of that, and wow, I mean, there were, like I said, he had the one assist, but there were two other plays where he, one was when he fed the puck to Staal in the middle of the ice, and Staal was hooked, but just a couple really pinpoint passes, and, you know, people think of him as a scorer, but when he was at his best with Carolina, it was passing the puck and really, you know, helping Yuri Tlusti have that season he had in the lockout shortened season, where he just kept scoring and scoring, and it was, more often than not, it was Alex Semin getting the puck to him. So is it it's a tough one, because as much as you like what Semin does when he's good, is he worth $7 million? I think that the reaction to him being available in trade and people balking at the idea of taking on a $7 million player tells you what the answer to that question is. That being said, is it worth it to trade him and hold on to half the money, you know, pay half of his salary and then have to go get another guy to replace him? Well, no. I mean, if you, you know, if you're going to find a $3.5 million player and keep $3.5 million of Semin's salary, are there any guys out there worth $3.5 million that are going to potentially do what Semin can do? I mean, not unless you're lucky. I mean, Tlusti's nearly a $3 million player now. Will probably be a $3.5 million player next year after he gets his new contract, wherever that may be, whether it's here or elsewhere. Is he better than Alex Semin? I guess that's all, subjective. If you, if you want to talk a all-zones game, then yes. If you want to talk a intensity and physicality, I mean, yeah, probably. You want to talk skill? It's not even close. I mean, Tlusti's a first-round draft pick, and there is no way he's even in the same, universe as Semin as far as skill, passing and shooting the puck. So that's not a knock on Jiří either. I mean, Jiří, he's exactly the type of player I love to watch because I feel like he's in the dirty areas and making good plays. It's just to say that when Semin is going, I mean, you would hear it even when he was with Washington. He's more, they would say, he may be even more talented than Ovechkin. And that's not, that might be the truth. The question is, can he get there on an every night basis, on an every shift basis? And so that's a tough question. I mean, I think it would be disheartening as a team to see it happen, and it's not going to happen in the middle of the year, it's a tough one. I mean, if he were to walk away and the Hurricanes were, committed to going out and spending $6 million on somebody else, then, on a blockbuster superstar type guy to play on the wing, then, I mean, maybe it's worth it, but it's hard to say. I mean, it could very well be that, they would let Semin go and, maybe play in the KHL and wipe that money off the books and then never spend to replace it. So at the end of the day, it's not any of our money. If you can bitch and moan that it's $7 million. The person near me in the stands last night, right before Semin assisted his goal, Semin had bobbled the puck or something, and he hollered out, "Well, there's $7 million." And I mean, yeah, but you know what? It doesn't matter. It's not our money. We can cap crunch all we want, but at the end of the day, that money is, I mean, yeah, we paid our season tickets or merchandise to pay these guys, but the Hurricanes have to spend a certain amount of money no matter what by league rules to be at the floor of the cap. And right now they're not anywhere near the floor. They're closer to the top, but still they've got to spend money. And to moan and groan about how much a guy makes, I mean, how much have we heard about what Eric Staal makes, what Cam Ward makes? Groan. And now that Cam is playing absolutely lights out and just so calm, and I said last night, he mentioned, in the post game, he's having fun, and it's long been known, he's got that written down for him to look at. Have fun, it's a game, have fun. And he's having fun again, and he's said it before, maybe not meant it, but last night, I mean, hey, it's fun to win. Winning solves everything, and Cam's healthy and confident, and you don't hear anybody complaining about him making nearly $7 million this year, because right now he's worth every penny based on the way he's performing. So you kind of got to let the winds blow on this one a little bit. After last night, I think you hope Semin's headed in the right direction. Really, definitely his best game of the season, and really encouraging to see what he was doing. And same thing goes for Jeff Skinner, just his best game, and good to see him really, I mean, do some stuff with the puck that makes teams have to figure out who they're going to defend with their top defenders. So, but again, very good effort from the Hurricanes. On Thursday, Winnipeg comes to town, another chance to avenge a loss. Paul Maurice, head coach of the Jets and longtime twice Hurricanes coach, will be on the opposing bench. So a little extra incentive there. Hurricanes continue their climb in the standings and have a chance to get to, pretty much get to 500, at least points-wise, if they can win their next game. So a 6-game point streak and, for the team and a lot of guys doing good things. So that's about it for this time. I really appreciate everybody's questions and a good mix of young guys, injured guys, and current guys to talk about. This has been the Caniac Commute. You can send me your questions. You can either do hashtag Caniac Commute or at Corey Lav, CoryLav. Of course, read us all at canescountry.com in the SB Nation Network. And you can also read me over at hockeysfuture.com. Have an article coming up pretty soon on the junior guys and how they're doing. So thanks again for listening, and we'll do this again soon. Thanks a lot.